The Chantels on the 50s on 5, keeping the Big Beat Jam alive. Matt the Cat on the Night Prowl Show. It's West Coast Wednesday, and I have a very, very special guest from Olympia, Washington. I am very privileged to bring out Gretchen Christopher. Gretchen?
Hi, Matt.
You are. It's so great to have you on the air.
Well, it's wonderful. We were finally able to. You've been so patient in tracking me down and waiting for my CD to be released.
You weren't easy to find, Gretchen.
No, well, that's too bad. I should be, shouldn't I?
Well, let's talk. You've got a couple of websites, actually. You've got Fleetwoods.com, and you have GretchenChristopher.com.
Right.
And people can they can go there and look at photos. They can check out your bio. They can order your new CD, which is coming out, and so much more. Let's talk about that new CD. It's Gretchen's Sweet 16.
Right.
And we're going to play a few songs from the CD throughout the evening.
And it's spelled both ways. SWEETSIXTEEN. Sound like a cheerleader. And also, in parenthetically, SUITE and the number 16, which is kind of a reflection of the live chamber music that I was raised on. So it refers to the whole suite of 16 songs, all original songs, including the first two hits that I wrote as the Fleetwoods, Come Softly to Me and Graduation's Here.
That's fantastic. Now, is it true that, I guess this is true, that you were born on February 29th?
That's absolutely
leap year baby.
True. That's right.
And I was reading that you've had 16 February 29th since you were born.
That's right.
So it all kind of ties in. It's not just the sweet and the sweet, but it's also the 16 is relevant too.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what inspired it, my 16th birthday. And then I first fell in love when I was 16, you know, normal teenager, and he was 18. And then I went off to pursue my career, and we were apart for nearly 40 years, and he was sent a newspaper article about me and contacted me at the college where I was teaching dance, between other appearances, and now we're together again after all these years apart, and I'm sweet 16 again.
That is one of the most romantic stories I've ever heard. 40 years. You hadn't seen him for 40 years?
Almost 40. I think it was like 37, and let's see, and that was 50. Well, anyway, he was having his class reunion, and he came up here. He had been in California for 40 years in Orange County, and I'd been in California and here. And we thought it would be fun to kind of blow people's minds and go to his class reunion. What? I don't know what year that was, but I guess his 40th class reunion. And now, I hate to say it, but I'm about at my 50th class reunion. And
wow.
So we attended our homecoming game last Friday, the 50th anniversary homecoming game, and all sorts of craziness.
So let's go back to the 50s. While you were growing up, music must have been an important part of your life. You mentioned classical music a few minutes ago.
Right.
In the pop field, what were some of the artists and songs that you were listening to that were really, like you were singing along to on the radio or you know, buying their records?
Yeah, well, in the early 50s, in the pre-rock 50s, I liked Perry Como and Rosemary Clooney. Then Johnny Mathis became my first favorite, you know, where I heard a voice singing a song. Actually, it was Strangers in Paradise, and I knew that would be a hit and that voice was wonderful. And then everything he did was just marvelous to me. Mm-hmm. And that was very close to the time we started recording, actually. One very influential recording was Cry Me a River by Julie London.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's such an intimate song. It's like you're right there in the song with Julie.
It is, and that's really the way that I prefer to be recorded. And even though she's only one voice, really that's the way we Fleetwoods were recorded too. And many of my songs on the new album are recorded that way. It's, in fact, two people wanted to submit it for like best album for the Grammys, and the director of the awards said he thought it belonged in traditional pop.
Oh,
I guess
right.
It's called traditional pop.
Yep.
Where I'd be up against Tony Bennett. Tony He's Bennett won it about six out of the last eight
I was,
years.
I was just about to say, Tony Bennett wins that award every year.
Yeah, he does, and he's marvelous. I mean, that's right. Just such a great story. But then this other producer listened to it. He had heard some of the songs at the Nearest Picnic, and he thought it was had the potential to be a winner, but he wanted to hear the rest of it. And then he decided that it should be in Female Pop Album of the Year, or whatever it's called, because he said, your voice is so present. You know, the emphasis is really on the female voice, not a lot of reverb, not a lot of instruments or things covering it up.
It's mostly just you and a piano on most of the record.
Well, there are several that are just myself and piano, two or three. And there are some that have a full orchestration, you know, just a couple though, and then everything in between. But even when there are many instruments, my voice is really well forward, which is more like the songs of the 50s, the pre-rock 50s. Gosh, when I hear those are so beautifully recorded. The separation is so great. Well, and then I was just listening recently to Frank Sinatra, too. His voice was right out front. He had this huge, wonderful orchestra, but it was arranged very much the way that I arranged our things vocally, Fleetwood's-wise, and that is that whoever was singing lead, if I wasn't, then I would arrange things so that it filled in between and was kind of a safety net and wove in and out of it rather than covering it up. So, you know, our stuff doesn't have much three-part harmony. There's usually counterpoint and, you know, two parts supporting one or alternating with one. Anyway, I love the recordings, the pure, beautiful recordings of the 50s. And we were talking about Julie London and Cry Me a River. And somebody gave me an album of hers that was entirely recorded that way, a CD of it. And then the companion album was hers, but with full orchestration behind her. And she just sounded like any other voice with full orchestration. But with when she's there with just guitar and bass, it's magical.
Did Elvis do anything to you in the mid-50s?
You know, he didn't. In fact, gosh, I hope I don't alienate anybody, but he looked like a greaser to me, what we used to call a greaser, which is kind of a...
tough guy.
Yeah. And so he was not appealing to me at all. I appreciate him a lot more. It's terrible to say none of these dad, but I mean, you know, now he looks very clean cut.
Oh, Gretchen, you're gonna get me in trouble here, Gretchen. Uh-oh.
No, I do appreciate him a great deal now, but I really didn't in the 50s. For instance, Barbara went to his birthday party, but I went to Tab Hunter's birthday party.
All right, so you're more of a Tab Hunter girl then.
Well, now that I know more about Tab Hunter, maybe not.
But at the time.
At the time, yeah.
All right, so let's go back. You're in Olympia, Washington, right? That's where you grew up. And you're in high school, and you and Barbara, you were friends for a while, or you just happened to fall into each other one day?
Well, actually, we were preschool, you know, or pre-elementary school, like 5 years old. We were playmates, and we lived about three blocks away from each other, I guess, which when your legs are that short seems a long way. And she had a closet full of costumes and toe shoes, which she shouldn't have had at that early age, but I remember putting them on and standing in the closet, you know, bracing myself against the door jams and standing on these toe shoes, and it was so magical. And then begging my mother for lessons and getting those, and then falling off my bicycle and opening up my knee right to the gristle, and that put an end to that until I was about 12. I resumed dancing. That's as important to me as singing, so I guess that's why I'm going into it. And I taught dance for 30 years. In between performances, I would do like 8 weeks at a time of teaching and then have some time off. And to me, dancing is so wonderful because it's every breath I would take would be coursing through my bloodstream to allow my fingers to move and my feet into my, you know, for the total expression of something without words, which is no small feat, and that wasn't meant to be a play on words. But anyway, both music and dance are very important to me. And as I was, the last song that I wrote for this album was just a few months ago, and it's called Everything I Want to Be. And you hear that rhythm, Everything I Want to Be. And I went to a birthday party for one of our Fleetwood's replacements, and her fiancé played and sat in on drums. And he imitated that rhythm, so I said, Everything I want to do, I'll do with you. And he went, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I just loved it. And so, but he wouldn't do it. He said, well, I'm not a drummer, so he wouldn't come to the session with me and do it. So I asked Yes drummer Alan White, and bless his heart, he did. And he was down in L.A. working with Yes, and but he came up. They live in near Seattle. And I called his wife, and she got hold of him. And when he came up, he did the session for me. And so that's in there. And anyway, that was, I don't know why I was mentioning that, except that that's a very recent recording.
Dance. It was all about the dance.
Oh, about the dance.
The dance.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. So when I, with that song, for instance, when Alan was in the studio, I did some dancing to it to make sure that the rhythm was, and the tempo was danceable. And my children, or not my children, but my children's children, grandchildren, love to dance to it. And actually, I have about 3 jazz waltzes in the album.
Yeah.
And they say, Grammy, Grammy, play the 1-2-3, play the 1-2-3. So I do. And anyway, it's all...
So you and Barbara were, you know, knew each other since you were very, very small.
Right.
And you started singing in high school with her.
Yes, when we were freshmen, which was actually at Washington Junior High, they called it, but we were cheerleaders together there. And we were also in, let's see, Girls Glee Club, and I choreographed a number for Girls Glee, and we cheerleaders, song leaders, danced the can-can, and I designed the costumes and all of that, and we made them. And then, after our freshman year, the new North Thurston High School, a rural high school, opened. Up until that time, there had only been one high school, and that was Olympia High School, also known as William Winlock Miller. And I went there. I was my brother and sister had been there, and I wanted to be, you know, maybe I wanted to follow in their footsteps in that way. And also, I imagined that it was a more cultural environment, being the city rather than the country, mm-hmm. although I grew up in the country and loved it. So that's where I went, and then in my senior year, Barbara came there too. She had gone to the other high school, but she joined us in her senior year and said she wanted to sing with me again. And so we started, we were going to have a girl group, and we auditioned several people, and we auditioned them on In the Still of the Night. Mm. Shodo and Sholido, you know that one.
Mm-hmm.
And but these girls kept singing louder and louder, and I said, softly, softly, it's in the still of the night. And so when it was over, it didn't work out, and none of these girls filled the bill. And they left, and Barbara left, and I stayed and was playing these chords on the piano, same chords that In the Still of the Night and many, many rhythm and blues things are based on. And using the word softly, I just started writing a song based around that. Come softly, darling, come to me, stay, you're my obsession forever and a day. And then bouncing words off Barbara when she joined me later, a later day. And so the song was pretty much completed. Then she, you know, she joined me in harmony, singing harmony to it. But we also had a jazz arrangement of Stormy Weather, and I was singing lead, and she was following me in harmony. And it was, I said, now just follow a third above me in this slide. And so it was, don't know why, you know, mm-hmm. diving an octave, and with harmony, it really sounded neat. And so she thought it would be neat to have a jazz trumpet behind us, and so I got hold of this other little combo called Blue Comets and talked to Greg Hawkins, the drummer, and Donnie Rich, the guitar player who by the way, eventually became the right-hand man of, I can't think of him, but very, very big country artist. So that's another success story out of Olympia High School. But anyway, they sent us Gary Troxell. We'd never seen him before. He'd been just kind of skulking in the shadows of the hallway. So he came in with his trumpet, and he tried to play on Stormy Weather with us, but he couldn't play in our key, and we couldn't sing in his key, and so that was the end of it. We'd never seen him before and probably never seen him after, but he walked me downtown after school. I was going to meet my mother and go to my dance class, and we were standing on his corner. He had not heard Come Softly. He'd only heard Stormy Weather. But he started singing this dum-dum-dum-doo-dum-dum-doo-be-doo. And I could tell it was based on the same chord progression as the song I'd been writing. And so I said, keep that up, but slow it down, which is a funny expression. But anyway, he did. And I just, on the spot, arranged Come Softly in counterpoint against it. And it worked just the way I was hearing it. And I said, well, if Barbara likes this as much as I do, we'll incorporate that into the song and you into the group. That's what we did, and we sang it for our senior class talent assembly. And it was absolutely silent all through it. So it was just this, you know, my lead, my melody and lyrics, Barbara singing harmony to it, and Gary backing us with just the dum-dums. No other lyrics. Everybody, it was 1,500 people listening, and this is our a cappella trio debut. Mm-hmm. And they were absolutely silent all through it, and for a moment after, and so I leaned into the microphone and said, come, thinking that was dramatic. There was more silence, and I wondered if something was wrong, and then they burst into applause, and they loved the song. And I won't tell the rest of that story. That's in the liner notes. But it was a hit from the beginning, even without nail lyric. And then we did it one more dance, and the kids asked us to record it so they could buy it. They were just hungry for the music. So I recorded it at home and a cappella and on my dad's tape recorder, and all alone took that tape up to Seattle to record promoter Bob Reisdorf, whom I'd been introduced to when I was replacing Pat Suzuki, who was Broadway bound to star in Flower Drum Song. And I was basically singing. Basically dancing. I had sung solo on television and also danced solo. And I was there really to dance solo. I mean, that's why they brought me in.
And Bob's label was Dolphin Records at the time, right?
His label did not exist at the time, but once he heard my tape, he said, it'll sell a million. And so he started his own label and named it Dolphin. And
you were later, the first Dolphin One, right?
Yeah, Dolphin One, and it became number one. And he was right. It did sell a million.
It's such a great, great sounding song, and it's such a kind of an eerie sounding song in a way, and it sounds so unique. It jumps right out at you, and especially with the male and female vocals. But what's really interesting about it, like you said, it went right to number one on the pop charts. It went to number five on the rhythm and blues charts. How do you explain that?
I don't know, but on our first tour, I remember people seeing us and saying, they're white, and they're girls. I guess they thought it was a male black group of, oh, and there are only three of them. What did you expect? Well, they thought it was about five black males singing. So I don't know, but I'm delighted that the R&B fans loved it
too. Huge. It was huge in the UK as well.
That's right, it was. In fact, there were simultaneously two versions of Come Softly to Me in the top 10, the Fleetwoods in the lead, and then Frankie Vaughan and the Kay Sisters in Hot Pursuit. And Frankie Vaughan was not only a recording star, but a movie star who starred with Marilyn Monroe in I don't remember which of the films, but he was tough competition. He was there, I don't know if you'd say he was there Frank Sinatra, but he was there. No, maybe he was their Frankie Avalon. I'm not sure.
Well, I want to play an a cappella version of it, one of the takes you guys cut, I would assume, in Seattle. Did you record it in Seattle? You did record it in Seattle.
Yes, we did, at Joe Bowles' studio, basement studio. And yes, we did. We recorded it a cappella, as we did our entire Mr. Blue album, mm-hmm. which we did, you know, piece by piece. And then when Mr. Blue hit number one as well, Bob Reisdorf decided we should have an album. But he did a kind of a crazy thing. He put two number one hits on that first album, whereas the tradition in the industry would have been to put out an album for each of those songs and sell twice as many albums.
There you go. Well, let's hear that a cappella version. It's haunting. I mean, if you Night Prowlers think that the single version is haunting, this a cappella version is just as haunting, if not more so. Gretchen Christopher of the Fleetwoods joining me live here on the Night Prowl Show on a West Coast Wednesday. So come softly to me.
Oh, I was busy kissing Gary.
Tee-hee.
Take three. I want you to know, I love you so, doobie-doo. Please hold me so tight, doobie-doo. All through the night, doobie-doo. Dum-dum, dum-doo-dum, doobie-doo. Dum-dum, dum-doo-dum, doobie-doo. Dum-dum, dum-doo-dum, doobie-doo. Dum-dum, dum-doo-dum, doobie-doo. I've waited so long, doobie-doo, for your kisses and your love, doobie-doo. Please come to me, doobie-doo, from up above, doobie-doo. I want you to know, doobie-doo, I love you so, doobie-doo. I need you so much, doobie-doo. Wanna feel your warm touch, doobie-doo. Dum-dum, dum-doo-dum, 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 doobie-doo. Dum-dum, dum do dum do be do dum 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 do dum do be do.
The a cappella version of Come Softly to Me. Gretchen Christopher, of course, she wrote the song. It went to number one for the Fleetwoods, her group. She's with me right now from Olympia, Washington. Gretchen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And the name Fleetwoods, I've heard a couple of different ways the name came about. I need you to clear this up for me now.
Okay, well, it was our telephone exchange, and Bob Reisdorf called me in Olympia and said, we need a name for the group. And I said, well, how about two girls and a guy? And he said, no, we need something more distinctive, like Fleetwood, because he had just asked the operator to get him Fleetwood 27312 or whatever. And I said, well, what's wrong with that? How about the Fleetwoods? So that's how that came about.
Perfect.
All of our telephone exchange. It wasn't just mine. It was the only one in Olympia, so all three of us had Fleetwood for a telephone exchange.
So it had nothing to do with the car?
Nothing whatsoever.
Okay. in a time of lots of car group names, you would have thought, you know?
Yeah, and that certainly has been, even whoever wrote the liner notes for one or two of our albums mentioned that, you know, something like purring softly like the car after which it was named.
Yeah, that's good. No, it wasn't.
Well, Barbara bought a Cadillac. I don't know if it was a Fleetwood Cadillac, but I just saw at the homecoming, at the 50th homecoming, they had one. It was a 1958 red one, and I recognized it.
Oh, that must have been beautiful, seeing that.
Actually, it was. You know, I think more beautiful now than back then.
Sure.
Because
they're rarer now.
Right.
Back then, it was just a car in the street, right?
Yeah, and there were two groups that covered us in the United States. reminds me of something. But anyway, we followed this group in one city. We happened to be in the same city, promoting the record at the same time and racing to the station to see who could get there first. And we were behind on this particular point, but we were following their car, which was a big black Cadillac that said Fleetwood. So we thought, well, they're advertising us even if they don't know it.
That's good. Now, your new album, we mentioned it before, is called Gretchen's Sweet 16, and it's really a lifetime in the making in so many ways.
Yes, it is. The first song, of course, I wrote was Come Softly, which is on there. It's the a cappella version of the original song with the dum-dums, but without any other male lyric. And while I wrote that, the song that we ultimately put out, when we were in the studio, Bob, we recorded it for 5 months. Can you imagine? Just this one song. And Bob Reisdorf finally said, well, that's such a catchy part that Gary has. Gary, how about putting some lyrics to it? So he did. So then it became a shared male-female lead rather than just a female lead. And so both versions are on my album. It's an autobiographical album. So the first song I know we will do later is Autumn Gold, which is, it's sort of a, and then we flash back to Olympia High School and Come Softly a cappella. And it works out. How that happened to be in, by the way, is because my first love that I told you about, with whom I'm engaged today, not engaged to be married, because I don't need to be married. I have children and grandchildren. But he said, you must put Come Softly no later than the second song, because otherwise people may not listen further. You know, they need something they're familiar with. And I said, no, I'm not going to put Come Softly to me second, because it comes farther on in my life, and or further on. So it's thanks to him, in a way, insisting on that I thought, well, I'll put Come Softly. And then that's track two, and then Come Softly to Me is track 10. And in between, where it rightfully belongs, is Graduation's Here.
Which was your second single.
That's right. And after the kids at high school loved Come Softly so much, they asked Barbara and me to write a song for our senior class party for graduation. So she and I wrote Graduation's Here.
Now, we're not going to play that version, though. We're going to play your newly recorded Graduation's Here.
Good. I really prefer it. I must confess.
It's available on your new album, Gretchen's Sweet 16, which Night Prowlers can buy on your website, gretchenchristopher.com, or go to fleetwoods.com.
Right.
And it's up there as well. I want to ask you, though, who's the male voice on Graduation's Here, this new really recorded version? Because it's not Gary.
No, you're right. That's our West Coast Mr. Blue. That's John Worsley.
Coast Mr. Blue?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's his story?
His story? Gosh.
Well, I don't need the whole story. Maybe just a brief story.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll tell you another story later. I mean, you know, like some other time when we're doing this. But very briefly, he came into my house, saw my gold record or piano or something, and said, oh, you're a singer. And he started singing, and I loved his voice.
Oh.
And I said, I think you have potential. And he, you know, had his own rock and roll band and everything. But actually, he is now producing flute albums called Flute Echoes. And if you go to FluteEchoes.com or to CDBaby.com, you can hear his work. So anyway, he's going to be performing with us in Las Vegas in November, the weekend before Thanksgiving.
You're at the Cool Bobby B doo-wop show in Vegas, right?
That's right.
And you know Cool Bobby B is on our channel here.
Oh, you know, I didn't know.
His Cool Bobby B's doo-wop stop airs 4 times a week right here in the 50s on 5.
Wow.
So there's even more connection here, Gretchen. Even more connection.
That's wonderful. I love the way the internet has brought people together. Just, you know, we hear from fans from all over the world, and just very, very touching, feedback from both the album and memories of our music from the past. And yeah, the internet is really something.
Well, let's hear the newly recorded version of Graduations here from your from your new album, Gretchen's Sweet 16.
High school parties are over, things won't be the same. The day to grow up finally came. Graduation's here. Graduation, our trips to the ocean were so much fun. Remember the games we almost won. Graduation's here. Our senior year and our one big sin was the senior skip when we were all turning. But golly, missed you, fed to come. But now it's gotta go, 'cause graduation's here and we'll soon be on our own. Graduation, graduation. Now we're all walking down the aisle. I'm crying inside, but I'm trying to smile. Goodbye, friends, alma mater too. Graduation's here. Graduation, graduation.
To the great imposter, I stood and watched her fall. Couldn't help her at all. Poetry, so sweet, has her at his feet. She thinks she's the one, but he has just begun. All her friends, they just watch her, for they know the great imposter. Don't she know he's on a stage? It's not real, it's just a play. And he's playing the part that is soon to break her heart. Oh, can she see tomorrow's misery? Soon she'll learn her fate, but it'll be too late. All her friends, they just watch her, for they know the great imposter, and she's soon to join the roster.
The Great Imposter, Gretchen Christopher of the Fleetwoods, joining me right now on the air live, just for you Night Prowlers. I love that song, The Great Imposter.
Well, I do too, and it's fun to perform it because, you know, we had so many ballads, and so we kind of juiced this one up even a little more for live performance. But yeah, that was written for us by Jackie DeShannon and Sharon Sheely. And
oh, you're kidding me. I didn't even know that. Jackie DeShannon wrote that? Wow.
And and Sharon Sheely.
And
they wrote it specifically for us, you know.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and it was such a strong song.
It's so short, though. I wish it had another verse or two.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
And it's very short.
One version is extremely short, and the other one is a little bit longer, but, you know, it depends on what album you're listening to. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, Mr. Blue was on, Chevy Chase... Lampoon's Vacation, or whatever it is.
National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yeah, and I think they looped it so that it went longer and longer on that funny scene where he, you know, his wife's head was in his lap and he was running down road barriers and things.
That's right.
Looking
suspicious.
Looking like he was in heaven. Mm-hmm. But anyway, back to he's the great imposter. I was at Liberty Records walking across the parking lot, and one of the promotion men caught up to me and said, I really want to apologize. And I said, for what? And he said, because we were so sure that the great imposter was going to be a number one hit that we put our energies behind lesser records that by weaker artists that we felt needed the help. And he said, we were right. It did go to number one at all different markets all over the U.S., but at all different times. So nationally, it only showed at like 30. Well, I hadn't known that because I really wasn't following what our records were doing.
You mean you weren't reading Billboard magazine every week?
I was not.
Shame on you, Gretchen.
Sorry. I mean, I know it's the Bible, and I'm very proud that we had 11 Billboard hits, but no, I didn't bother reading it. But anyway, that's so I was quite surprised when somebody said, hey, your music is in this movie, American Graffiti, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And so I was watching the movie, and the person next to me nudged me and said, that's you. And I was especially surprised because I thought, well, that wasn't that big a hit, you know. Mm-hmm. It was only like 30. How did it happen to get in there? Well, and then I remembered why, because it was number one for everybody locally,
right?
You know, in their markets. Anyway, it tickles me that we were in that movie. There have been a lot of movies that, about a dozen that I know of that we've been in. And Mr. Blue was in Diner and National Lampoon's Vacation and Return to Macon County and I don't know what else. And I was sort of wishing that, and then this one was in American Graffiti. He's a Great Imposter. And I was thinking, gee, I wish Come Softly to Me were in a movie. And and then it...
it's got to be.
Yeah. Then it came out in several. And I'm trying to think what the first one was.
Oh, your wish was answered.
Yeah. And it was a wonderful movie about these, I think, 9-year-olds or something who were looking for... Stand By Me was the name of the movie.
Oh.
Such a good movie.
Funny, I just rewatched Stand By Me a few months ago.
Uh-huh. Did you hear when they were out in the forest around the campfire and they turned on their transistor radio?
Right. Yeah.
Doobie-doo-da-da. Et cetera.
How many gold record awards do you have?
Well, I have 4, but those are for Come Softly to Me, Mr. Blue, both of which were number one, and made us the first group in the world to have 2 number one hits on the Billboard Hot 100 in a single year. And we held that position until
the Beatles.
Right, exactly.
Who just smashed that record all to bits, huh?
Yeah, they did. And that was 1964. And actually the Supremes had 3 number one hits, and then the Beatles had 6. Just incredible. So those are the 2 gold singles that I have on the wall. And then I have 2 from the Hall of Fame. One is for the Fleetwoods, and one is for Gretchen Christopher, the Fleetwoods Gretchen Christopher. And those are from the Northwest Music Hall of Fame. But as somebody said, we probably have a lot more gold records than that, you know, records that over the years have sold a million by now.
Oh, sure.
But that's all I have.
And you know, nowadays you only have to sell 500,000 singles to be a good. So, I mean, you would have had like platinum records.
Right. And that's too bad because, it sort of diminishes the value for those who know.
We know.
Ours is a real million seller.
Yeah. It's all right. All the people that need to know.
Okay, good.
So off your new, let's play a song off the new CD, Gretchen Sweet 16. This is track 1. You mentioned it earlier, Autumn Gold. And it is autumn, and the leaves are turning gold. So
yes, this
fits right in.
Right, it's dedicated to those we've loved and lost, or maybe just lost track of.
And if you want to get this and keep this and take it home with you, you can order it on... Fleetwoods.com and GretchenChristopher.com. She's our guest tonight on the Night Prowl Show on a West Coast Wednesday. Let's hear Autumn Gold.
Thank you.
When skies
were autumn gold, we would walk down country lanes. Yes, hand in hand we'd stroll through sunshine and through rains. Sometimes beneath the trees we would rest there on the ground, then kiss beneath the leaves of autumn golden brown. Then all too soon a chill set in, and all the trees were bare. And then one day I looked around and you were not there. The winter storm has come and days grow cold, but yet my heart is warm with thoughts of autumn gold. Darling, hold my hand, let me know that you understand, that till I'm free from the girl who loves me, we must be secretly lovers by night, strangers by day, till the time you can be in my arms endlessly. Lovers by night, strangers by day. She's been good to me, but she gets hurt oh so easily. So till I tell her it's all over, stay with me, let's still be lovers by night, strangers by day, till we walk as one, hand in the sun. Lovers by night, strangers by day. Lovers by night, strangers by day, till we walk as one, hand in the sun. Lovers by night, strangers by day. Lovers by night, strangers by day. Lovers by night, strangers by day. Good night, my love.
Good night.
Pleasant dreams ahead. Sleep tight, my love. May tomorrow be sunny and bright, and bring you closer to me. Before
there's just one thing I'd like to know with me. Is your love still warm for me? Or has it grown cold? Should awake in the still of the night. Please have no fear, for I'll be there. You know I care. Please give your love to me, sunny and bright, and bring you closer to me. And bring you closer to me.
Gretchen, I don't think you could come any closer to that feeling that we were just talking about of Julie London on Cry Me a River than that. I really feel that your version of Goodnight, My Love really captures that same sort of intimate feeling. It's like you're kind of just, it's like you're there in the still of the night singing it to us.
Well, that's neat. That's you know, Barbara singing the lead on that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you asked me if I had a story, it's because I was the original lead singer, and then Gary became lead singer with me, and then more and more he was, well, on the album, Mr. Blue, it's about half and half. I sing many of the leads, as does Gary, but Barbara doesn't sing any of the leads. And then I remember we were in the studio recording a cappella, and she was all agitated. She said, I had a dream last night. I dreamed that I had my own mic, and I didn't know what to do with it. And so anyway, so we started giving her more leads, and this was one of them. It was on an album, but it was not released as a single. Bob Reisdorf really pushed Gary mostly for the singles. And the disc jockeys in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle particularly, got hold of the album, of course, and started playing Goodnight, My Love. And so it was by listeners' request and demand that it was released as a single.
I think it was your last charting single, too.
It was. It was our 11th Billboard hit and our 9th Top 40 hit. And so it actually, I was just rehearsing it yesterday because we'll be probably ending our show in Las Vegas with Goodnight, My Love, and thinking of Barbara.
Who will be singing with you in Las Vegas on the Cool Bobby B. Doo-Wop Stop Show?
Well, I mentioned John Worsley.
Okay.
singing the Mr. Blue part. And my cute cousin Karen Cohn from Connecticut, who is Barbara's favorite replacement. And the reason I say that is because she stepped in, that is, Karen stepped in when Gary stepped out, which was Expo 86, just before Expo 86. I mean, he had actually resigned from the group, retired before that, and then he got hold of me and said, I want to sing with you again. And I said, well, I was just going to submit my solo act for the World's Fair, but I guess I could submit both the Fleetwoods and Gretchen Christopher. And then I thought, ooh, I might be putting stiff competition there, you know? I'd be competing against myself. But I decided to go ahead and do it and just let the producers decide. So producer called me in and said, what would be chances of having both Gretchen Christopher and the Fleetwoods? And I smiled and I said, 100%, that would be perfect, because that's what was and this is what is.
There you go.
Yeah, and so, but then a week before the show, Gary walked out. And so my cute cousin Karen Cohn from Connecticut was flying in to visit me, and I said, did you learn the parts? Because she said she'd love to sing with us, and I'd given her an album of our greatest hits, so she slapped on those earphones, listened for the six-hour flight, spent the entire week, which was all we had, with those headphones on all the time, and she learned all of Barbara's parts, and then I sang my parts and Gary's parts. So it was quite something. It would be I'm Lady Blue, wahoo wahoo. I was singing both in harmony. So anyway, I dedicated that to him because I thought, what am I going to do with it? And somebody said, just sing it as Lady Blue. And so that's what I did. And Karen has been, the reason that I said that she was Barbara's favorite replacement was because there were recordings done at the World's Fair live, and Barbara heard them afterwards and said, she sounds just like me. And I thought, that is the greatest compliment that we could have had.
And when did Barbara retire from the group?
9 years before Gary, which was 1974, and Gary was 1983.
Okay. Actually, I just got an email in from Barry from San Diego, who says you were talking about the guitar player Don Rich.
Yeah.
It was Buck Owens' band that he was playing with.
Oh, thank you.
And Mick in Portland, Oregon, wanted to know if you used to play the Castle.
Yes, the Spanish Castle. Yes, in, was it Tacoma or Seattle? Anyway, in the Seattle-Tacoma area and Parker's Ballroom. Those were the two places that we played there. But we seemed to play more all over the United States than locally.
And Mike in Maryland wants the story behind the story on why Dolphin Records was forced to change their name to Dalton Records.
Well, after choosing Dolphin and having the labels designed with the three fishes, one big one and two little ones, it turned out that one of the big publishing companies had a small label that it had established for quite a few years, and they said either change the name or be sued. So it was as simple as that. So Bob kept the fish on the label, but changed it to Dolphin, or from Dolphin to Dalton.
How many records? Yeah. How many records in was that?
That was on Come Softly to Me, our very first record, Dolphin number one. I'm looking at it right now, the gold records, and seeing the fish, you know, and the label. And,
right.
Yeah, it was right out of the bag there. So Bob Reisdorf decided, well, you know, we're hardly established, so it's a number one record, but it's the only one we have, so he said, you know, I'm not going to get into a lawsuit over it, we'll just change it.
Cool. Well, let's hear another song off the new record, Gretchen's
okay.
Sweet 16, which you can hear samples of at your website, GretchenChristopher.com.
Right.
And Fleetwoods.com.
And this is the title song that I wrote when I turned 16, you know, recently had my 16th leap year birthday. So I wrote this song, and actually I was on my way up to a birthday party that Roger Fisher from Heart was having for himself and myself and several of us who have February birthdays. And so I, as Boz drove us up there, I wrote these six verses plus a bridge, and I sang it to him, and he made some criticism. Well, there was kind of a joke on him. There was some place in there, and anyway, I just put in a line that was very funny, but it was kind of, the laugh was on him, and he didn't like that, and so he said, isn't it awfully wordy, and it seems like there should be a hook. And I said, well, okay, I'll forget this melody. I'll just do it as rap.
There you go.
But so, people insisted that I write a melody, so this is the one I came up with, and it's so subtle you may not even realize it, but it goes through when the Texas musicians finished recording it or writing it out for me and recording it, said, my gosh, it goes through six different key changes. But they loved that. They were tickled by it.
And when having a leap year birthday, I would imagine you celebrated your birthday on the 28th, right? Not March 1st.
Well, no, as a matter of fact, yeah, if I had to choose between the 28th of February or March 1st, I'd choose February because at least it has the right name for the mm-hmm. month.
Right.
But what I would do, since I have a birthday only once every 4 years, on the other 3 years, or some of those 3 years, I have Pisces parties. And I collect Pisces friends. And, oh, you're a Pisces? Oh, I'll invite you to my Pisces party. And that way we can celebrate everybody's birthday, you know, who's born between the, what is it, the 20th of March and the 20th of February.
Mm-hmm.
Other way around, I
guess.
Other
way around, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's celebrate your 16th birthday with Sweet 16.
Okay, and if you listen carefully, it tells the entire story of the album in just one song, and then all of the other songs flesh that out.
When I was 16, you were 18, the older man in my life. We fell in love for the very first time. Who knew it would last all your life? I went my way, pursued all my dreams, reached the unreachable star. Left you behind, never looked back, never dreamed you still loved from afar. Then decades later, you wrote me a letter. It reached me the month of my birthday. 1,000 miles away, you'd lived 40 years. Yet somehow, your soul was still thirsty. Months later, we met. We read our old yearbooks, the history of our love affair. Tasted the kisses and toasted the moment, slept separately, still unaware. If your burning love could rekindle my own, and somehow my flame would be lit, I cried as I thanked you for making it right. After all of these years, I felt it. Now I'm Sweet 16, you're my older man, like a couple of kids from the past. Laughter and love make our lives like a movie. Could our first love become our last? Yes, I'm Sweet 16, you're my older man, but not just the same as before. No more, Mr. Blue, you've come softly to me, so our first love could grow even more.
Gretchen Christopher's new album, Gretchen's Sweet 16. She, of course, the founding member of the Fleetwoods. Gretchen's joining me live from Olympia, Washington. And on the line with us as well is somebody you know very well, Night Prowlers, Long Island Bob, direct from Long Island, has a Fleetwood story that, Bob, I'm going to turn it over to you so you can tell Gretchen yourself your Fleetwood story.
Hey, Gretchen, how are you?
Good. I'd love to hear this story.
Well, I don't know if Bob or Bonnie had mentioned it to you way back then. I know Bob has passed on. Bonnie's still around, I think. But unless they had mentioned it way back when it happened, it probably never came to your attention. When I was 14, 15, 16, in the late 50s, I wasn't satisfied with top 40 radio. So I spent 2-3 afternoons a week after school hanging around the record companies and the record distributors in New York City. And on one of my trips, I guess it had to have been, I guess, early February of 59, Among the new releases that I accumulated that day was Dolphin Number One. And that night when I got home, it was one of the first ones I put on my turntable because of those three little fishes that you mentioned. It was kind of an interesting label. Of course, at that time, I didn't know the story that it had taken months to record and that the kids in your high school loved it when you did it a cappella. Of course, that was all, totally unknown to me. And this is at least a week before it even got its first airplay in New York.
Mm.
The distributor, the 45 used to come in a sleeve of 25. And when he gave me my copy, there were only one or two missing. So I had to be the second or third person in all of New York to have a copy. Anyway, that night, I played both sides because there was no indication which was the A side. I immediately knew Come Softly was the A side, and I knew it was different and unique and haunting and all that. But I have to admit that to my discredit, it didn't immediately knock me out. The second afternoon, it was not a day that I went to the city, and that evening, playing 45s again on my own, in my room on my Ford turntable, I must have played Come Softly five or six or seven times. I kept coming back to it every third or fourth record. Something just kept drawing me back, and I got it started growing on me, and I'm beginning to realize maybe this is something special. The third day, I went back into the city and brought Dolphin One with me. And the first stop near the subway where I got off was George Goldner's group of labels. He was hot at the time. He had a bunch of groups on the charts, especially in New York, but also nationally. I remember having to wait for an hour or so till he got there. But he finally arrived, and I played Come Softly for him. He liked it, but he said he was going to cover it with one of his groups.
Which
he, in fact, did. Richard Barrett and the Chantels did a version of it. He said, "Can I leave my copy with him?" I said, "No, thank you." And I raced out of his office, and I literally ran five or six blocks uptown to Laurie Records, because I had hung around a little bit with Gene Schwartz, and I knew Gene would at least realize the uniqueness of Come Softly. I put it on the turntable for Gene, and by the time Gary had hit three or four notes, I could see Gene was getting fidgety and excited. And when you and Barbara came in with the harmony, I don't think the record stayed on the turntable for 3 seconds. He ripped it off and said, "I'm going to buy this master. And if I do," talking to me, "he would give me a penny a record finder's fee."
Oh, wow.
So
that's more than I made.
So I'm really excited at this point. And very conveniently, Bob had the street address right on the label.
Uh-huh.
708 Sixth Avenue, if I remember correctly.
It sounds right.
In Seattle. So it was easy for him to get the phone number. He went into his office, closed the door behind him, and he was in there for what seemed to me like forever, but it was probably only about 10 minutes. And he came out, shaking his head side to side, looking very dejected. I said, "What happened?" He said that same morning, not an hour or two before, Dolphin had signed the deal with Liberty for the national distribution of Come Softly. So Laurie had missed by an hour. I missed by an hour. Any other suitors who came along afterwards were also too late.
And hey, Long Island Bob, Gretchen.
All right.
There you go.
It's fun to hear from everybody and what their questions are and everything.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about Mr. Blue. We haven't played Mr. Blue, your second number one record of 1959. What's the story behind that? How did Mr. Blue come about?
Okay, well, we were touring. We were in San Francisco, and this Dwayne Blackwell, actually, he was part of the brother-sister group, the Blackwells, which was two guys and a girl. And he had written this song and brought it to us in our hotel room. And I said, "Well, it's a great song. Why don't you record it yourself?" And he said, "Because if we record it, nobody will ever hear of it. But if the Fleetwoods record it, it'll be played by every disc jockey in the country." And he was right. And so he got himself a million seller, as a songwriter. And he wrote something else for us later, too, which I liked very much, which was The Last One to Know.
Yeah.
"Why, oh, why was I the last one to know? Thought our love would do nothing but grow." And that was the B-side. Bob Reisdorf was promoting the A-side, Dormilona, I think it was. And so we were out on tour, and so I said to the disc jockey, how about if you flip it and play the last one to know? So anyway, it ended up being the A-side, but it didn't have the, you know, the push from the get-go.
Push, yeah.
And so it, you know, didn't make it nearly as high, but... yeah, that was Dwayne Blackwell's wonderful work.
Instead of playing the regular single version of Mr. Blue, which we play every day here in the 50s on 5, let's do the a cappella version of Mr. Blue. Gretchen Christopher of the Fleetwoods joining me now here on the Night Prowl Show.
Our guardian star lost all his glow the day that I lost you. He lost all his glitter the day you said no. And his silver turned to blue. Like him, I am doubtful that your love is true. But if you decide to call on me, ask for Mr. Blue. I'm Mr. Blue.
Wrong, wrong.
When you say you love me, then prove it by going out on the sly, proving your love isn't true. Call me Mr. Blue. I'm Mr. Blue. When you say you're sorry,
Mr. Blue,
then turn around, heading for the lights of town, hurting me through and through. Call me Mr. Blue. I stay at home at night, right by the phone at night,
right by the
but you won't call, and I won't hurt my pride. Call me Mister, I won't tell you. While you paint the town a bright red to leave it upside down, I'm painting it too. But I'm painting it blue. Call me Mr. Blue. Call me Mr. Blue. I've got the blues, a sickness much too bad to cure with booze. And so I'll open up my heart that you may look and laugh or weep as you choose. Blues go away, bad news every day. When the sun is shining, it is only just reminding me the rains came yesterday, and I'm on my way to a storm of sadness much too black and blue for sun to shine away. So when the birds sing, I only sigh. And when the winds wail, go away.
away. Bad news here to stay. In the black and blue of night, I cry and hope I'll never face the day. Oh.
Gretchen Christopher from her new CD, Gretchen Sweet 16, which you can listen to snippets of and order at thefleetwoods.com or gretchenchristopher.com. Gretchen joins me still from Olympia, Washington. You haven't moved since the last time we talked.
No. I'm still here. I've owned this house for 34 years.
Oh, fantastic.
Overlooking the bay and Mount Rainier.
Isn't that nice?
You used to see Mount St. Helens until it blew its top.
Well, I very much appreciate you coming on the show and sharing these wonderful stories and this new music and the old music with us. It's been just great. It's like I've known you for a long time and we just met today. So
I feel that way too.
It's been great talking to you. And there's so much more information about you on your website, GretchenChristopher.com. There's a lot to look at, a lot to do there, as well as, like I said before, listen to some of these new songs that just, to me, they feel very personal. I know you've invested a lot of your life experience into these songs, and it comes out, it shows. And this is a real quality album here. And so thank you for sending it to me, and we've passed it on now to the Night Prowlers, and I hope everyone enjoyed it, and we hope to have you on again real soon.
Thank you, Matt. We have a total pleasure. I'd love to come back again.
And let's go out talking about another Fleetwood song, They Tell Me It's Summer.
Oh, okay. That was written for us by Randy Newman, and it was, he has said on National Public Radio and different things that the Fleetwoods gave him his first break nationally. They Tell Me It's Summer was put on the flip side of one of our hits, and I don't remember which one now, but I remember I really enjoyed the song, and I led two different arrangements, and I went into the archives years later, and there is an arrangement in there with a lot more lyric answers than you will hear on this recording, which is the one that was released. But anyway, when we released our 13th album, The Fleetwoods, Buried Treasure, I had been, let's see, what happened? My kids found a recording of me, of all of us, but my singing lead on Man in a Raincoat, and they thought it could be a hit if it were released today, so I called Liberty Records to ask if they might release it or else release it back to me, and in going into the archives, they found that there were like 27 unreleased masters, so they called me and asked if I would tell them which would be the best for a brand new album. Among those were three songs by Randy Newman. And so when the record was released, I was in Seattle at a television station, and then I went over to a theater where he was performing, and he was doing the sound check, and I went up and introduced myself, and of course he remembered, actually he married somebody named Gretchen in the meantime, but I said, you know what my dream would be? It would be to open for you, for the Fleetwoods to open for your concert. And he said, oh, no, you're much too big for, you know, to open for me. And I asked him if he would do They Tell Me It's Summer on his show, and he said, I don't even really remember it enough to, you know, sing it. So anyway, I am delighted that you're going to play it, Matt, because I really like that song, and it's not on most of the albums. It may be on something new that's come out, you know, a compilation. But for some reason, it didn't appear on our original 13 albums.
Well, it's a great tune. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you. Thanks to the fans who sent messages, too. And they can send me email. They can go to the website and it says email us and just click on that and we'll get it.
Tell me it's summer, but I know it's a lie, 'cause summer's for laughing, so
do I cry? They tell me it's summer, and the sun shines, it's true. But it just can't be summer when I'm not with you.
It just can't be summer.
They tell me to call you, but I still have my pride. I remember the things you said and all the nights that I cried. They tell me it's summer, so I look to the sky, but I can't see the sunshine, 'cause there's tears in my eyes. The days don't grow longer, as in summer they do. It's the nights that are longer, 'cause they're nights without you. The days don't grow longer, in summer they do. It's the nights that are longer, 'cause they're nights without you.